Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today. Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Anime Initiative. I am Megan Peters, your host of this wonderful segment of Comic Book Nation, where we have many, many shows for all things geek. If you want to talk about anime, if you want to talk about comics, if you want to talk about anything and everything from Marvel to DC, we got you covered. But here, we talk about anime. We talk about manga. We talk about all the good things that you want to watch. So as I said, I'm Megan Peters. I will be your host for this show, and I'm here with my two lovely friends and writers, Nick Valdez and Evan Valdez.
Howdy, everybody.
Welcome. Hey, everybody. Welcome, everybody. So we got a little bit of a spicy episode to talk about. We got some controversies. Would you know, anime fans love nothing more than a controversy.
Yeah.
We can attest to that. We're going to be breaking down the great surprise that was the One Punch Man Season 3 trailer that we received just a few days ago. No one saw it coming, quite literally. There's a lot of information to unpack in that trailer, and then we'll be moving on to discuss the good, the bad, and the ugly of anime awards. If you did not know, over the weekend, Crunchyroll hosted its 2024 Anime Awards, and as always, plenty of discussion has cropped up around the show, and, you know, controversies are bound to happen. So, I'm ready to get to it if you guys are.
Yeah,
let's do it.
All right. Because I'm going to need help to talk about One Punch Man.
Yep.
let's just be honest about it. So to give a little bit of context to everyone who's listening, a couple days ago, out of nowhere, we got the first trailer for One Punch Man Season 3. If you did not know that One Punch Man Season 3 was happening, now you do. It kind of came out of absolutely nowhere. We were able to get kind of our first look at what the aesthetic and visuals will be like. And for me, I'll say this. I am not convinced. is that the word I'm looking for? What do you guys
think? Fair. I'm not
placated.
Yeah. Well, because like Season 3's announcement came out of nowhere too, right? Like, it wasn't it what, like last year that it was suddenly like, oh, we're making a Season 3 years after Season 2 came to an end. And so the reaction to Season 2 was kind of so vitriolic almost that it was like, oh, maybe we're never getting another season again. But here we are. So
I
think that the problem is with JC staff in general isn't necessarily, like, I think that the animation itself can be great. The problem is it's following in the footsteps of the god tier first season from Studio Madhouse. When I was thinking about this over the weekend, one of the things that I really thought about One Punch Man is that when I want to introduce my normie friends to anime in general, one of my go-tos is One Punch Man. It's an amazing concept. When I heard about it originally, I didn't know how it would work, but specifically when I want to show them, like, okay, the best animation from anime that I can, one of the things that I show them is the Genos versus Saitama fight from the first season of One Punch Man, which is just breathtaking to look at. And while, don't get me wrong, JC Staff, it had its moments. It was able to, you know, animate some good things. There was, like, especially like the final Garou fight against the other heroes that was in, I think it was in like the last couple of episodes.
Yeah, it was already close to the end by the time it started popping off. Yeah,
it seemed like they were kind of getting their footing a little bit more, which is good in terms of this upcoming season. But you always have, like, they always have to try to hit the same heights as Madhouse. And that's so tough to do. It's so difficult. And it's just like, I hope they do.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there, Evan, because, you know, it's tough for any creative team to follow up another creative team's vision. It's sort of like, we see this all the time in anime. A lot of the times, anime will get passed from studio to studio, depending on, there's all sorts of stuff happening behind the scenes per season. And, like, a lot of the times when, you know, when they campaign to pick up a license, it's like, oh, you know, it is piecemeal. It is like they do have to renegotiate these things all the time, unless it's like one of those deals where, oh, we're going to be exclusively producing this stuff, or we are a studio that's exclusively made for this anime. And Madhouse isn't that. Madhouse is, they had a team of creators who were like, oh yeah, let's do One Punch Man. They did One Punch Man. And that's why season two never got announced. And then when it did, it was because some other studio finally picked it up. And, you know, it's a shame because we did have to compare the two seasons, and that was possible. That was a little unfair, but also it kind of, like, it did kind of earn some of that stuff too. Like, I'm not going to completely defend season two. It did kind of earn a lot of the not the hate, you know, but it did earn a lot of the divide between fans. Mm-hmm.
I think the best way I can describe the majority of the fandom's response to season two of One Punch Man really comes down to a word that it just keeps talking in my head, which is indifference, unfortunately. Yeah. A lot of fans were just really kind of indifferent towards the series because it did not have the intense high that One Punch Man season one had. I mean, there are few shows that I can think that have like a perfect season one, and One Punch Man is that show, which is like wild to me. And kind of the thing that we have to give context for people who are listening, maybe not as familiar with kind of the ins and outs of the creation of One Punch Man. If you saw season one and then you watched season two and you were like, something feels weird. Something doesn't feel quite right. Well, that is obviously because we've talked about it. One Punch Man season one was handled by director Shingo Natsume at Madhouse Studio, which has done a lot, and I mean a lot, of hit shows. It's done everything from Death Note. It oversaw the second adaptation of Hunter x Hunter. It's currently working on shows like Overlord and Free Eren. You know, looking back further, it did shows like Vampire Hunter D, Trigun, Ninja Scroll. So it did a lot of action-packed series. Fast forward to One Punch Man season two, we bring it to JC Staff. So this is another very big company operating in Japan that does anime creations. It's best known for shows, I'd say, like Food Wars. That's kind of one of their big ones. It also oversaw a certain Magical Index, which has a little bit of action to it. But then it oversees a lot of, I would say, kind of more tame fantasy isekai. I mean, you have things like Is It Wrong to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon, Toradora, which is one of my favorite, like, romance shoujo kind of series. Definitely doesn't have the action that is attenuated to One Punch Man. Because then you look at JC Staff's list of works that they've done primarily, and it's a bunch of slice of life, romance, fantasy, and then all of a sudden One Punch Man shows up. And you're like, I'm not sure how we feel about this. So that's the primary problem. And when you break it down even further, the crew that was present on One Punch Man season one under director Shingo Natsume was God tier. I don't know another way to put it. Shingo Natsume is a wonderful director. You might know him from watching, obviously, One Punch Man season one, but also Space Dandy is him. He brought in some just truly God tier animators. You know, he had a network of people that were able to really produce something special with One Punch Man. It turned it into a phenomenon. You know, then we get season two, and it came so long after, and expectations were so high, the comparison really felt indifferent for fans. So now, seeing this trailer for season three, we can confirm, despite speculation to the opposite, JC staff is obviously going to be continue work on One Punch Man. They're doing season three. It's bringing back much of the same directorial crew. They're bringing in a couple of new character designers that are kind of brand new to the show. But in general, much of the same staff behind season two is going to be transitioning into season three. So the question is, are we just doomed to repeat history?
Well, the issue with season two also, on top of all that you said, Megan, like setting the table even further, is that it was also adapting a very weak part of the story in general. Mm-hmm. You know, it was the reason season one was so huge was because Saitama was involved in a ton of it compared to season two, where he's in like a fighting tournament, but holding himself back because he wants to figure out what martial arts are. Mm-hmm. And the main focus of the story becomes Garo, the hero hunter. And that's unfortunately going to continue with season three, where, you know, because the human monster saga just really started with Garo. And that means an entire season focused on him and his battles and his journeys. And we're going to get like fractions of Saitama throughout. And unfortunately, that's the thing. It's also a weak part of the story because Garo's just not that interesting. And it's all like fight scenes. So if the production didn't like have the time to really work out these fights, like we see the trailer and the trailer's got some good action in it. Mm-hmm. And I kind of hope that's the standard across the board, because if not, then we're looking at another weakly received season.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So I know, obviously, Nick, you're very familiar with One Punch Man. You are with the manga, with the webcomic. What do you see kind of happening in terms of season three and its production timeline? Like, what do you think is the ideal situation for what we'll get from season three in terms of the arcs covered, in terms of content? What do you want?
I hope to see it sped up a bit. You know, because the Human Monster Saga is long. It's the longest arc
so
in the
long.
Series.
Yeah, so long.
It's the longest stretch of fights in the series to date. And that is even before accounting the Monster Association stuff within it. And the Monster Association stuff is when it gets super good. You know, the S-class heroes start fighting the disaster level monsters, and it all just keeps going from there. And it turns into every week when you tune into the chapter, you're like, oh, okay, here's another unknown guy fighting an unknown guy. That's fine. I really hope it speeds it up because there is some Saitama stuff that's fun, but that comes in super late. So I think, if we're lucky, we'll get some hint of that this season. But if not, it's going to be another Garou season. And it's the make or break point. Because if it doesn't speed things up and if it doesn't get people in now, no one's going to want to tune in to a season four when Saitama finally shows up, when we finally get God involved and the big fights that like a punch so hard that it sends Saitama back in time and it like resets the timeline.
Hold on.
Yeah.
We need to go back a second. Did you just say Saitama, does he get punched or does he punch someone that hard?
He punches someone so hard that like it resets the timeline. And like, so, and it depends too, because the manga adaptation goes two different ways because it was like such a weird ending that it kind of, they had to, Yusuke Murata, who illustrates that, he illustrates Ice Shield 2021, lots of good stuff. He did that weird ending and then also did the time ending. So it's like sort of, who knows which one the anime will eventually go with, but basically, the rundown is, yeah, Saitama punches so hard, it like resets the timeline and kind of ends the fight to where that never happened in the first place. It's so like, it is the wildest thing. And I want people to see that if it happens. That's the thing, is that's what's exciting. That's when it gets awesome. But, you know, who knows if we'll get to see it.
It's just, as soon as you were talking about Saitama being involved in this punch, that's like, essentially, you know, in the comments, Sergaline says it's the anime version of Flashpoint.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I'm not going to disagree with that statement. All I can think about is how a scene like that deserves such visual acuity because it could be glorious. And the only thing that I can think of in comparison, which again is a dangerous game when you start playing comparisons with anime, and you know, at least with One Punch Man, we've been comparing it against itself. But one thing that I think is also a fair comparison is you look at another series, you know, that was birthed by One, the creator of One Punch Man, also created Mob Psycho 100. Mob Psycho 100, handled by a different anime studio over at Bones, is some of the most glorious animation you will ever see in your entire life. It's truly mind-bending what it does with its animation. And to see what kind of stuff they did with like the supernatural aspects of Mob Psycho 100's like Esper abilities and all of that craziness that we got. Like, all I can think about is how good that animation would look like with Saitama.
Yeah.
And now I'm sad.
Oh, man. Yeah. Because definitely, if you're watching at home, buddies, definitely check out Mob Psycho 100. Like, it is, it's a complete series too. So it's three complete seasons. See, and you're in for a wild ride throughout. Like, that's just one of those things. It's such a great show. And it's, once again, just as Megan implied, like, it's such a bummer that One Punch Man isn't in that same boat where we could be like, oh man, here's another glorious season we're getting. I can't wait. But here we're like, I guess we're getting more.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. What do you think, Evan? What is your hope for season three with One Punch Man?
I hope that JC staff learned what they needed to from season two, because I don't think that studios are separated from the commentary of anime fans. I hope that they gave their animators the time that was needed in order to create something really amazing. We've seen a lot in the anime industry in recent years of just terrible work conditions that make it harder for some of these things to happen. But I'm hoping for, as someone who's not as familiar with the manga story, I'm hoping for JC staff to still be able to create some amazing anime fights that can kind of be some of the best of the year whenever it does arrive, or if it arrives this year even. And I'm looking for them to just kind of improve. But I'm also, I have no preconceived notions that they're ever going to stand up to Madhouse. I just think it's so tough to stand up to that animation level of the first season. So I'm hoping that they're able to carve out their own identity with this upcoming season, even if they're just focused on Garo throughout it. So yeah, that's kind of, I'm hesitantly looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's a great point, Evan. Like, I think season three will be a success if it's better than season two, right?
Yeah,
and that's a much easier bar to overcome than trying to compare it back to season one.
Much easier bar. I mean, hopefully JC staff has had the time and the air to breathe and the budget and the scheduling to help make this production be as successful as it can be with season three. I think still one of my biggest points of, you know, the visual identity of One Punch Man is so strong. I mean, what we saw in season one, like, it is basically impossible for JC staff to be able to move away from that visual aesthetic and identity that season one set up. So they are so confined in what they can kind of create, artistically speaking, for animation and for pacing and for kind of the visual gags that you see. I just hope that, you know, they've been able to kind of pull together, get in a good headspace, and use kind of this arc with Garo to experiment and try to bring back the fun that was One Punch Man, because it was such a high. People rave about One Punch Man season one for a good reason. And there's also a good reason they don't really talk about season two that much. So I hope season three can be the change.
I think there's one good thing to look at, or there's a couple good things to look at with season two. But one of the ones, aside from the final fights that kind of popped from JC staff, there's another moment that I really love that I wish they'd kind of rely on a little bit more from that second season, which is when Saitama meets Garu at the marketplace, and Garu hits him on the shoulder, and it has that freeze frame of Saitama's face, just like, are you trying to rob me? And that's a moment where they're able to capture the identity of the series while also being able to put like their own spin on it. It's not a huge action beat, but it is one where they're able to kind of really translate well from what one had originally made in the webcomic and in the manga, and kind of bring it over to the anime adaptation.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. Ultimately, right now, we have the trailer for One Punch Man season three. We got a poster, a key visual of Saitama. And beyond that, we know nothing. We know the show is being worked on. We do not have a release window at all. We don't know if it'll be this year. It could be 2025. Right now, it's kind of a to wait and see moment. So we can only hope. We can only send our best wishes to JC staff. They have a lot of work ahead of them, but we are hopeful. So good. Well, I think we're ready to move to our next subject. But first, you do have to pay for the show. I know. Crazy, right? So we're going to take a quick ad break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly of anime awards. Welcome back to Anime Initiative, the anime-focused segment of Comic Book Nation. We are back. We just had a wonderful discussion about One Punch Man Season 3. And now, let's get into the good stuff. We're going to be talking about anime awards. It's that kind of the season. You know, right now we've had everything from the Golden Globes to the Oscars to every other film and TV organizational award event under the sun. Well, it's the same time for anime to do it as well. Anime is up there as well. And the big one just kind of happened here in the United States. Crunchyroll just hosted its 2024 Anime Awards. Had a big budget this year. It was taking place in Japan once again, over in Tokyo. And as always, when these kind of big awards happen, just like there's controversies with the Oscars, there's controversies with anime awards. So we're just going to kind of break down some of the highs, the lows, the good, the bad, the ugly of what, you know, the internet's talking about and what specifically the three of us are talking about with the anime awards. So the first thing I want to kind of talk about was just the sheer production scale of the Crunchyroll Anime Awards. It was so legit. You can watch it right now if you've not seen the award show for 2024. If you have no idea, the whole thing is streaming in full for free on YouTube. It's on Twitch. You can go check it out. I mean, they had Megan Thee Stallion presenting.
Yeah.
Come on, my queen. Come on. Megan Thee Stallion? Like, if I wasn't going to tune in before anyways, immediate watch. Megan Thee Stallion. I'm sure, Evan, you love that, given her cosplay.
Wearing a cosplay from JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Golden Wind, as the real protagonist of that arc, Bruno Bucciarati.
As soon as I saw that, I was like, Evan's losing his mind.
I'm as a huge JoJo fan, we stan any part of JoJo, and we especially stan celebrities falling into the world of the Joestars. So yeah, very, very great. Very and good.
She's shown her love for JoJo's in the past before too, with like shout outs on social media and stuff like that. Like I think she made a point of like visiting the JoJo's Museum.
Yeah.
And like it's been great. And you know, I just as an aside, people who are out there saying that she's not like a real anime fan, I don't want to hear it. Like, come on. No one
she is. She is real.
Yeah, no one does Bruno or Gojo cosplay and is like, you know.
No one. Tell me what person who has the ability to go on Paper Magazine, cosplay as Shoto Todoroki and break here. Megan Thee Stallion does not need to defend herself. She is the perfect anime queen that we deserve. And she presented the Crunchyroll Awards, which is insane. And she was just one of several high-profile people. I mean, they got director Bong Joon-ho to an award at the event. If you're not sure of who I'm speaking of, is the director of Parasite, you know, the very, very, very famous and very talented South Korean filmmaker, who, while he was on stage, was like, man, I think I want to make an anime. And everyone there was like, what?
Oh, right? Yes. Man.
He said it in the right place, because all of the best animators in the industry were in the audience. And, you know, they were all like, hire me. Give me work. I mean, that would be insane. Like, the amount of clout in industry that was put behind this award, it's very well deserved. I mean, anime is so huge now. Obviously, we're biased. We're on this podcast.
Right.
For all of you listening, and for all of you, you know, looking at this, anime's huge. It definitely deserves an award, organization, celebration like this. So, now let's talk about the results, because the anime of the year for the 2024 Crunchyroll Anime Awards went to Jujutsu Kaisen Season 2. What?
It sure did.
And not only did it win anime of the year, it took the record for most wins at the Crunchyroll Anime Awards to date. It won, like...
Wait, really? It beat out, like, Demon Slayer's, like, previous record? I remember Demon Slayer dominating, too. Yes. So
Jujutsu Kaisen Season 2 has taken the record of most wins at the Crunchyroll Anime Awards to date. So that's where we're at right now. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, that's so funny, too, because technically, I think there was even a qualifier, if I remember right, saying this is really just for the hidden inventory premature death arc, which was the 5-episode prequel.
Really?
Before, even the good stuff kicked in. Yeah.
I didn't know.
The rules for the event ended at the summer core, so it didn't roll into the fall core. So it didn't get to the... Shibuya incident arc.
That throws my entire perspective out of whack because I was coming on here to totally defend this, even though a part of me thought that Vinland Saga season 2 was robbed, which it kind of was, especially like if it only covers the hidden inventory premature death arc. Like, and oh, not the
that Shibuya? Is what it is supposed to have only covered.
Yeah,
we're not in the voted, minds of the voters and the nominators. But according to the eligibility qualifiers, yes, it should only be the hidden inventory. So the arc about Gojo's past.
And I'm by no means saying that that arc is not. It's still great. That arc
it's fine.
It's fine. It's not as good as the Shibuya incident arc. For me personally. But I would say it kind of deserved a nomination. Do I necessarily think it should have won Best Anime if it's just covering that storyline? Man, probably not. I mean, Vinland Saga was so legendary that it's kind of hard to debate that was better. But I understand Jujutsu Kaisen is a very popular thing at the moment. And, you know, it kind of it's earned that reputation. But if you're just looking at that arc, that storyline, that kind of throws it out of whack.
People definitely voted with their hearts. And I get it. You know, you vote for the stuff you like. And someone really likes Shibuya Incident, they'll vote for Jujutsu Kaisen, not knowing that they're voting for just the prequel.
Just that.
And, yeah, and that's fine. This is the only way I will accept Anime of the Year.
So what do we do next year when inevitably the next year's...
Again? Oh, yeah, because it'll just say Jujutsu Kaisen
season two wins again. Because that is when the Shibuya arc will actually be eligible.
Oh, man, I really
hope. What do we do when that happens?
I hope something pops off by then. Like, we have so many, like, interesting-looking anime coming out this year still that I really hope that there's a hidden gem out there that's just going to pop off. It won't be that big, though, unfortunately. And Demon Slayer Season 4 is not looking like it either. We can talk about that later if we need to. But, you know, we'll see. If not, then, it's just going to steamroll again. And that'll be fine. Mm-hmm. But, like Sir Glean says, Solo Level. Let's hope Solo Leveling is like the next Jujutsu Kaisen in terms of like virality and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we will obviously find out. We will be revisiting this Jujutsu Kaisen conversation shortly. But I do also want to point out that Best New Anime Series at the Crunchyroll Awards did go to Chainsaw Man, surprisingly enough, a lot of the conversation online has been that Chainsaw Man didn't really win much except for this.
That's why the Jujutsu Kaisen thing's a shame, because you know it's when you want to talk animation and you want to talk about like how impressive something was, Chainsaw Man really had that debut like down. I mean, we had a different ending theme sequence for every single episode, and that's I don't think I've ever seen that. So that's just for that stuff alone. I'm glad it won something, but it really should have won more.
Right. That will tie into our Jujutsu Kaisen conversation shortly. But I have one piece of news right now that I am sure we will all rejoice for, because Best Main Character at the Crunchyroll 2024 Anime Awards went to the one and only Monkey D. Luffy.
I mean, that's just a permanent. You can do that every single year. And there's an argument to me. I mean, you can't deny it. I mean, really, like this was the year of or during that whatever section. I would imagine Gear 5th happened.
Yeah.
The continued roof piece, as it were, continued to happen. The War for Wano conclusion. It makes sense.
The live action Netflix one.
Yeah, live action Netflix.
We can beat around the bush as much as we want. I mean, I know obviously for Crunchyroll you're wanting to focus on the anime for the anime awards, but there's no denying that last year was just the year of Luffy.
Yeah.
He was everywhere you looked. You looked to Netflix, he was there. He was there not only in live action, but he was there in animation form. I mean, One Piece got its own, you know, little mini series, you know, prequel of, you know, the monsters. You know, there's so much stuff that Luffy did last year, and
lest we forget that he had a Thanksgiving Day parade balloon.
My God. I forgot that. Thank you.
His hat deflated. Oh, that was so sad. Really, but you know what? He kept strong. He didn't let that take him down for too much longer. I'm sure Nami fixed it on the boat later. but yeah, so Luffy did end up winning Best Main Character. I don't think there could have been a better pick for that, to be completely honest with you. I mean, Luffy kind of just stole the show last year in terms of MCs when it comes to anime. And again, you know, pointing to what Sir Glean said earlier, I honestly wouldn't be surprised if something like Jinwoo from Solo Leveling gets it in this coming.
Oh.
I had a little bit of technical difficulties there. I was trying to figure out when my mic shut off.
Here I was just saying, yeah, just fill it in dead air. Yeah.
Honestly, it's because the show itself just wanted me to stop talking about Luffy, because I'll talk about it. And you do know that. So we kind of talked about the highlights of the show. Now let's kind of get into the controversies, because that's where the delicious stuff is. I'm just going to ask, did Jujutsu Kaisen season 2 deserve to win anime of the year?
As a whole, yes, but unfortunately, under the qualifications, you know, I do have to like pull like the threads here and just be like, no, it didn't. Under the qualifications, no. Hidden Inventory was mid. It was a prequel. It was fine. It was just 5 episodes. What were we supposed to do? But if you're looking at the season as a whole, yeah, of course, because it did do a lot of wild stuff. But I guess we'll have that conversation next year.
Again. Evan, what about you?
I think that even as a whole, like, I can understand. I think I love the Shibuya incident arc. I loved, as someone who specifically was trying to stay away from the manga and was only following the spoilers as they happened in the anime itself, I was amazed at like the sheer amount of people that the creator killed during the Shibuya incident arc again and again and again, like episode after episode, where I was not expecting it at all. And honestly, like, the MAPPA animators were on point, just amazing animation. Do I think that it should have won anime of the year? No, because I would put, I mean, honestly, like, as someone who is like, who will sing the praises of Vinland Saga season 2 until the day I die. But also Pluto as well was just such an amazing, heart-wrenching, life-affirming series that only happens once in a generation. That's another one. I understand why Jujutsu Kaisen season 2 won. I think that like it's popular and it's earned its popularity. But at the end of the day, for me personally, I wouldn't put it as my number one. But it's still a strong, you know, top 3 for sure.
You know, it is funny that the one thing it like Demon Slayer won over it was animation, which is kind of like, okay, you know, Jujutsu Kaisen kind of blew everyone else out of the water, but Demon Slayer still gets the animation award. That was where it kind of threw me for a loop that, you know, I mean, first of all, that we were even talking about Demon Slayer season 3 in a year where other cool things happened and better things happened. I will continue to rag on that show forever. It's never going to escape me. But you know.
Sounds like a bonus episode.
It's never going to escape my RIP that potential of that show. But so yeah, like, but Jujutsu Kaisen, like, that was the one thing that you would assume people would give it credit for on top of everything else. But the fact that it won everything else but not that is so mind-blowing to me in terms of you know, just the scope of it all.
Mm-hmm. I think in terms of, you know, how I feel, do I feel like Jujutsu Kaisen season 2 deserved to win anime of the year? Absolutely deserved the nomination. Again, like Nick said, if we're viewing it as just the Hidden Inventory arc, absolutely not. Not even, I don't even know if it deserves a nomination for that. But even as a whole, I'm still saying no. I am a firm believer that anime of the year material for any kind of contest, it has to be good from episode one to the end of the season that we're looking at. And this would be something that actively engages me into something, both with animation, but with the storytelling, pacing, everything. I have to feel good about watching it every single week. And unfortunately, I can't say that I felt that for Jujutsu Kaisen. There were even weird bits, you know, into the Shibuya incident arc that I was kind of like, ugh, come on, this is a little bit of a slog. Like, that's unfortunately how I felt in some ways. Is it excellent? Yes. Did I love watching it? Yes. Do I still feel like it was it anime of the year material? Yes, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I'm siding with Nick. I mean, I'm siding with Evan. Vinland Saga season 2. Every single episode was a banger. Episode was just a banger. And that's unfortunately where I sit. I will also now comment on what Nick said. How did Demon Slayer win for best animation compared to Jujutsu Kaisen?
That's what I'm saying. Like, the one thing you'd figure Jujutsu Kaisen was a shoo-in for, especially, like, you know, unfortunately, through all the reports that we've seen from MAPPA's animators working on that thing, you know, it was literal blood, sweat, and tears went into those shows. And it did show, like, it did reveal, like, when you're watching these episodes, you're like, wow, there's a lot that went into this. And you'd figure that's the one award that it would win. But here's Demon Slayer, you know. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Jujutsu Kaisen season 2, episode 17, 18, 19, 20, and it's like every week it just got more intense. I mean, you were just stunned at the animation. I can truly say, even at its peak, Demon Slayer hasn't always done that. I mean, I think Demon Slayer is a gorgeous. I love that show. I'm not on Nick's side. I think it has incredible potential. I love Demon Slayer.
I'm going to be right in the middle between both of you.
Do not come for me on Twitter. I love the show. But even, you know, there are points with its animation that I still feel like it really kind of relies on its clout. It kind of relies on the reputation that it established, you know, towards the latter half of season one. And then obviously from Mugen Train down with that kind of animation. Season 3 just didn't bring that heat for me. Unfortunately, it was still, you know, I still think it was a great season. And I enjoyed watching it. Do I think it had better animation than Jujutsu Kaisen? No, but again, the eligibility thing comes into question. Are we talking about Hidden Inventory in animation for Jujutsu Kaisen, or are we talking about Shibuya arc?
Even that, like, even if it's Hidden Inventory, it still beats Demon Slayer, I think. And I think it's the classic animation debate of, like, model versus off model, because like Jujutsu Kaisen, the animators are willing to bend and twist the characters in order to, like, make an action scene more kinetic and make it hit harder. While Demon Slayer, it's got that very high level of gloss on it, that very HD-ness of, you know, when you see it. Like, when I saw the finale on the big screen, I'm like, oh yeah, this is definitely a high quality production. You know, it doesn't play around with its character models. Like, everyone looks how they're supposed to all the time. But it some people do prefer that over the bend and squash of cartoony physics that Jujutsu Kaisen does. Mm-hmm. And it's a shame that version is looked at, you know, at worse than Demon Slayer, because Demon Slayer just doesn't have that, you know, it doesn't have that fire in it, you know. So
yeah, thanks for season 3, in my opinion.
It's so tough to, again, like, separate Hidden Inventory from Shibuya Incident Arc, because, like, I keep thinking animation wise, like, as Megan had kind of mentioned, there was that string of episodes that were just, like, phenomenal. Like, the the Sokuna versus Maharaga fight where he's unleashing Hellish Kitchen, and they're using like a different animation style to kind of do that.
Yeah.
But like, I would also have to kind of boost the direction that was used, like especially like the Chozo versus Yuji fight in the bathroom and all the different angles that were kind of used to like make that fight stellar in terms of like one of the best fights of the year in the anime world for this year. But yeah, again, like for me personally, I think that Demon Slayer there are some amazing fights that the studio is able to create, but like season three did not have the same level of animation for me that like the Spider Clan fight in season one during the Entertainment District arc where they fought where they just had amazing stuff. But like, I don't necessarily know if that's necessarily a knock against the studio or more just the fights.
It's a knock against the story. It's not.
Yeah, it's a knock against the story.
Table, the studio behind Demon Slayer, did amazing with the content that they had to work with within that arc boundary. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'll see how season four goes. We're coming up on Demon Slayer season four. So,
well, Nick, that's something. As an aside to that, for everybody listening, you know, Demon Slayer season four, I saw the premiere as part of that sort to the Hashira Village event. And, you know, I wrote up a thing about it. I drop all the spoilers about what to expect from that. So check that out in a comic book. But the main thing is season four is not going to alleviate these issues. I will just say that as someone like just treading the line of how much I'm willing to like spoil here. Season four is not going to fix what season three didn't do well. It's going in the complete opposite direction. And I am curious as to where it goes. I think that's the nicest thing I could say is I'm curious about where that's gonna go, but that's where I'll leave that.
All right, well, I'm gonna set like a remind me notification. Remind me in 90 days to ask Nick how that went. And that'll be a conversation we'll have here, because that's definitely striking, the Jujutsu Kaisen animation Demon Slayer kind of differential between everything. Let's also kind of talk about kind of some quick fire issues. I know obviously Evan and myself have sung the praises of Vinland Saga season two. Where was it at the Crunchyroll Awards? Where was Vinland Saga?
it doesn't have that. It's just not as popular at the end of the day. I mean, that's just kind of like the long and short of it is just that I'm sure we all wish it was more popular than it was and it was standing on the same level. But like, I get it. It's just not as big of a name as Jujutsu Kaisen right now, or like One Piece or Demon Slayer.
I wonder where Vinland Saga season two got its proper due, huh? I wonder where.
Where? Comic.com's animation.
I think Nick is hitting at something. Yeah, that's what I'm about to say. Eddie Rehmendi in the comments just said that in 2020, Vinland Saga did win for season one.
That's so funny.
Yeah, so it won for best drama. So you're clearly in the voting pool and in the kind of minds of the voting body there, you know, Vinland Saga is present. You know, again, eligibility rules might have had a little bit of sway on stuff, but not to the point in which, you know, Vinland Saga season two was not a flashy season, but it was the most emotionally complex piece of television I have watched in a long time. So that for me, episode after episode, I mean, that's where you get into the nuance of anime. Like, what do you like about your anime? Do you like, you know, your flashiness? Do you like your fights? Do you like your shonen series? Do you like your, you know, slice of life shoujo? Like, what is it that you're looking for? Unfortunately, a lot of the critique that I've seen surrounding, you know, the representation of winners at the Crunchyroll Awards has been, you know, this is might as well just be called the Shonen Jump Awards, you know, in some ways. Sure. A lot of the series that, you know, got the most visibility in terms of awards here, you know, they're your Shonen series. That's the bread and butter. And, you know, that's reflective of the fact that shonen is by far the most lucrative and popular form of anime, especially overseas. In Japan, its lead isn't quite as visible, but you know, shonen is shonen series, like it's huge. So you kind of have to, you know, temper expectations, but come on, Vinland Saga. If not Vinland Saga, then Pluto. Pluto was like a once in a lifetime. I mean, it'd be like if they adapted like 20th Century Boys and did it, you know, put something on there.
Someday.
Yeah, someday. Give me 20th Century
Someday.
the fact that Pluto wasn't there. And also, I was surprised the fact that Attack on Titan was really not as present.
Oh, now, again, right.
Eligibility reasons to kind of poke in there. But I'm surprised. Like, I mean, it won, you know, a couple of awards, but nothing major. None of the major platforms.
I totally forgot Attack on Titan ended like last year, too.
So. Right? It's so hard to remember.
No, we have to give it its right name. Attack on Titan, final season, final chapter, special installment one.
Yeah, special. Yeah. Attack on Titan, the final chapter is special two, something like that. Yeah, like it really did its work to like make us forget that it happened, unfortunately. So
yeah. That's harsh. That's hard. I think Attack on Titan's final, I think a big part of that, I feel, is that it's a very controversial ending. And it was always kind of thought of, even from the, I mean, it had the creator apologize for it. Like, and Hajime Isayama apologized for creating that ending. I think that's harsh. I enjoyed the ending of Attack on Titan, but I recognize that a lot of people didn't. And there was a lot of controversy in terms of like stuff that was put into Eren's, you know, final bid for creating his world and all of that. So I get it. I think it rightfully won best soundtrack. I think that soundtrack is amazing in the final installment of that. But again, like I do kind of agree with Nick's take that like, yeah, it kind of went in and out. And I think that a big reason for that is just that it was so spread out. That scheduling, man, like that does have an effect.
Really, the scheduling of anything is really what made it dead on arrival for a lot of people. I mean, there was like for that really concentric week, people were talking about it and then it was gone. It was kind of almost like when you see anime series that are just kind of binge released on Netflix and streaming services like that. There's the really concentrated and intense conversation for about 5 to 7 days and then poof, it's gone. Mm-hmm. No one talks about it anymore. Popularity nosedives. And whether we want to admit it or not, these award, you know, bodies are as focused on merit and credentials as they are popularity. Sure. So, you know, sorry, Vinland Saga. Sorry,
Pluto. Sorry, I mean,
Vinland Saga season three, maybe.
That's also why Shonen Jump takes over so much, because it's weekly chapters, weekly episodes. You know, it's so many things that keep it going every single week of a, you know, of a certain month span.
Yeah.
And so it because it dominates so much, like Jujutsu Kaisen winning, you know, does make sense. I mean, it was, we had like last year had like Megan Thee Stallion and Usher dressing as Gojo, which was just like, if that doesn't show you how big this is, that it's like, it's basically become the new Demon Slayer in terms of like, you know, zeitgeist. And now we're just wondering what's going to be the next thing. And that'll unfortunately be another Shonen Jump thing. And while, you know, popularity and all that stuff aside, it's just kind of like, I guess we'll have to be the hipsters in a way and be like, you know, continue to talk about the good shows here. We'll be like, oh yeah, while you're watching Jujutsu Kaisen, please check out Pluto. Please check out Vinland Saga, that kind of thing.
We've talked a lot about the controversies. You know, let's also talk about the goods, because there were some really nice things that I was very excited to see. One thing I forgot to put in my notes is that the character that won like the award for character that must be protected at all costs went to Anya Forger from Spy Family, which check absolutely, and we don't have to worry about that because her parents are going to protect her at all costs. Like, come on, Anya is the biggest little anime like mascot ever. Like,
I'm kind of surprised Spy Family didn't take away more. It won Best Comedy, right?
Yeah.
And considering how big it was, and I'm surprised like Chainsaw Man beat it in terms of I think like it would also was in the running for Best New Anime. So I'm kind of surprised there. I know that it was like Spy Family has become just this monolith, this juggernaut in the anime scene. So I'm kind of surprised it didn't take home more.
Mm-hmm. And beyond that, my personal favorite, one of my favorite shows of the last year, Best Original Anime went to Buddy Daddies. If you
I have no idea what that is.
Yeah, so, I love Buddy Daddies. Yeah.
So good. I mean, obviously kind of plays off the found family motif. A lot of people, you know, said it was, you know, the LGBTQ version of Spy Family, essentially. If you're not familiar with Buddy Daddies, it essentially boils down to these two guys that work together in, you know, the shadowy underbelly of spy work. And after taking on basically a mission and a hit, they end up taking this young girl into their home because she's convinced one of them is her dad. And it follows the trials and tribulations of what it's like to be, you know, a spy or, you know, like a hitman, essentially, while you have a young daughter in place while trying to, you know, reunite her with her own family. So far, it seems like the show is a one-off, you know, one season kind of deal. It's so good. It's so fun. It's so lighthearted. It's worth just spending an afternoon watching it. But yeah, that won Best Original Anime, and I was 100% on that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Eddie Remain made a good point. Yeah, Bocchi the Rock. That's another one that's just, I think that there's an argument to be made.
Well, it was 2022, right? Or does it count? Does he count?
That's the thing. Was the when was it out? Did it, was it fall? Was that 2022?
I can't remember.
Looking it up.
Because I would say if that was eligible, that's like a good, that could, I think arguments can be made that that's like a little better than Spy Family.
Yeah, but. So it began in the fall winter course of 2022, which means it be eligible, I believe, for the event.
Right.
I thought so, I did do something. Am I just hallucinating?
So, double checking. Yeah, Idol by Yaosobi for Oshinoko's opening theme also won for the best song, which is kind of like makes a ton of sense because it also, that song alone took over the year. Like it topped the actual Billboard charts. So it was like, yeah, that one was huge. It was everywhere. It was even like, there was even a group that performed it on like America's Got Talent. That's how big it got. Like, so that was another one that made sense. But, Megan, I wanted to swing back around to the whole, I wonder where Vinland Saga season 2 got its proper due, because, shouting out our own comics.com's golden issues, for anime, Vinland Saga season 2 won our anime of the year, because of course it did.
Of course.
Patting ourselves on the back there for choosing the right one, right?
I will say this, I did look it up. Bocchi the Rock at Crunchyroll's awards this past year did win for Best Slice of Life Anime. So it was in there. Right, okay. And it was nominated for Anime of the Year alongside Vinland Saga Season 2. So obviously, even with the nominees that they had listed, they were wrong. So.
Yeah.
Subjectively, of course, but you know, they're wrong. But you know, as Nick just said, the comic book people, we obviously were able to crown Vinland Saga season 2 as our site's anime of the year. Looking at anime movie of the year, our eligibility terms were different, so we put The Boy and the Heron on top. I believe Crunchyroll awarded Suzume by Makoto Shinkai, which, you know, fits their eligibility requirements. Mm-hmm. And for manga of the year, we're going back. Mr. Monkey D. Luffy himself, One Piece is what we crowned the best manga of the year. Because what else were we supposed to do? What else were we supposed to do in the face of the Wano Saga and Egland? Egland Island arc beginning. I mean, come on.
Yeah. it officially kicking off the final saga, however long this is going to last, you know, whether we're sitting here for 10 years, a decade from now, we're going, oh, it looks like One Piece has finally started its final arc. You know,
it's going to be like the Attack on Titan situation. It's going to be like One Piece, the final arc, the final installation, part 7A. And then we're going to be like, all right, well, I guess that wins this year. Honestly, that's what we're cooking up to be. Obviously, you know, if there's one manga creator in the world to just give, you know, blind faith and trust to, it is Eiichiro Oda.
I mean,
they call him Goda for a reason. He is the goat. He's going to be great. So, you know, if you are looking for anime recommendations, that's just a sample of what the comic book team, you know, offers, the three of us here and the team at large. Those were our picks for the past year. And obviously Crunchyroll has, you know, a much broader, a ton of categories that they award every year as kind of the go-to place to watch anime, you know, not just in the United States, but, you know, across the globe at this point. That's kind of where we're at. Any final words about what the award seasons had to offer for anime this past month or so?
I mean, let's get ready to talk about Jujutsu Kaisen again next year. You know, as we're
joking, but like also we're actually very serious.
Yeah, like unfortunately, yes.
Fortunately, I thought you were about to say that because you're like, oh, season 3 comes out next year, and it's like, no, that's no.
Nope.
I mean, that's no. Like, oh my god, better not, please.
Oh my god, no. Like 2025. At the earliest, 2025. At the earliest.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even know.
The next thing that we'll see in terms of, I'm sure, animation crunch and that neck of the woods will be the Chainsaw Man movie that they're currently working on for the Reze. Is it Reze or Reze? Nick, tell me.
I always say Reze.
I always say Reze, but you know, I always double. I never.
We'll just have to wait until we hear.
Until we get that. Maybe we'll get a surprise trailer for it coming up, like we did for One Punch Man season 3, which we'll find out. So, anyways, that is what we got for this episode of Anime Initiative. Thank you for listening. This is our third episode of the segment for Comic Book Nation. We are here to talk about all things anime, all things manga, all things webtoon, animation. We are here to talk about all the best things. We have a packed year of great anime to talk about that Nick mentioned and in the comments circling. We got a new season of My Hero Academia on the horizon that we will be talking about as it comes forward. Yes. So we got tons of goodies planned. And if you want to listen to some of the other programs here at Comic Book Nation, we have the pull list where we break down comics each and every week. And we also have a gaming focused segment called Quick Save, where we talk about all your video game stuff. So if you want to know about Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, that's where you need to go. For now, you can find Comic Book Nation online and on all of your, basically playlist places you want to go. Apple, Spotify, we're there. Come listen to us. You can also find myself, Nick, and Evan on social media on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter, or I guess X rather, whatever you want to call it. I'm at Megan Peter CB. Nick, where can they find you?
At Valdizology on all medias.
And Evan, where can they find you?
And at EV Comedy at all medias. On all medias. Awesome. Medias.
Well, that's what we got for the day. Thank you for listening. And we will talk to you next week.